in. We've watched God's hand, his action in this process of bringing a pastor to the Chinese community church. It took some time. But God was with us. He was faithful. And he's answered our prayers. It's never an easy process to bring in a new pastor in a church. And always when a new pastor comes in, people want to compare the new pastor with the old pastors. People have visions of what a pastor should be like. But I always believe it's right to let a honeymoon exist for a while. The first year before anybody makes any opinions. And let God work in developing the relationship between that pastor and the people of God. Because some people like their pastors short. Some people like their pastors tall. Some people like their pastors fat. Some people like their pastors skinny. And some people don't like pastors at all. And that's really tough when you're in a church and you have people that don't like a pastor at all. But I think that as a Chinese community church, we should be grateful for God's provision. Because he loves this church. He has a purpose and a plan for this church and for our lives as we contribute to the work of God. There's a growing process when a pastor comes. Enjoy the process. Joshua comes to us, Joshua Cho. He was a pastor in a Chinese church in Princeton, New Jersey. Princeton is the home of a great American university, and many of his people in his congregation, in his church, young people, young adults, he nurtured, he developed, and he helped them to follow Jesus Christ. We have a few of them here today. So his ministry has been proven. He has influenced people significantly. He was a successful pastor, faithfully proclaiming the word of God in a place where people are very intellectual in many ways, and in a place that is a challenging place to proclaim the word of God in Princeton, New Jersey. And for years, he's done the hard work of pastoring the people of God. He's inspired them, and he will inspire us. He's influenced them to fulfill the calling that God has on their life. And he will influence us. He will influence you. He's a pastor. That means you can go up to him and ask him to pray. You can go up to him and tell him you have a vision, you have an idea of where God is listening to you, leading, and he will listen, and he will pray for you. So go to Joshua, give him work, and I'm sure he will find plenty of work. Recently, senior church leaders identified his calling and laid hands upon him, ordaining him. He was already ordained by God, but when Christian leaders lay hand on you, it is an acknowledgement of what God has already done. So God had been working in Joshua's life, and God had equipped him with powerful ministry, and men and women came alongside, laid their hands upon him, and ordained him for the work of God. And now we are the beneficiaries. I have a few short words today, a short message, but I have words of encouragement for Joshua first. Eugene H. Peterson, who's a writer that encourages pastors, said this. He said that there are three pastoral acts, and you can read this in your bulletin. Three pastoral acts, so basic, so critical, that they determine the shape of everything else. And I will say that those acts determine our success as Christians also. Because it's easy to be in a church, in leadership, and do things publicly. But Christianity is about the internal, what's on the inside. These three things are praying, reading the scripture, and giving spiritual direction. And I mean spiritual direction. People come to you and they have a problem and you minister to them. And that's never in public. But those three things are the most powerful, most important things that a minister will do. And so I encourage you to be faithful with scripture, with prayer, and with giving the guidance to people that come to you spiritually. Secondly, pay attention to your personal life. Pay attention to your personal life, physically and spiritually. Your health and your heart, the seat of your emotions. We need you in healthy form, in both body and in spirit. So take care of your body. Go to the gym. Get with Garrett and see what he does. But make sure that your body is kept in shape. Because you may be here for many years, you may be here for a few years. But it does nobody any good if you minister here and do not take care of these things. Because in the future, wherever you go, you have to be healthy in order to fulfill God's mission and his plan for your life and for our church. Because ministry is a marathon. If you're 100 pounds overweight, you can't run a marathon. And a pastor has to be fit for the challenging ministry. Do you realize only 1 in 10 pastors ever retire as a pastor? Only 1 in 10 pastors in America retire as a pastor. It's because there's a heavy attrition rate. It is a difficult work, a difficult task. And so you have to take care of your body and your heart. Third, pastors often leave ministry. And the reason they leave ministry is they get too involved in serving others and forget that they are first called to relationship with the living God. If you're too involved serving others and ignore God, what have you gained? We are called to serve others, but we can't do that unless we have a relationship with Christ. Nothing we do will endure if we drop God off our agenda. There are many ministers today around the country, around the world, who only have a professional demeanor and don't walk with God, don't talk with God, don't spend time with God. Josh, spend time with God. Make that a priority in your life as you minister faithfully to the Chinese Community Church. Praying, scripture, giving spiritual direction. Do we have any doctors in the house? Do we have any doctors in the house? Any, raise your hand. Any aspiring doctors? Anybody who want to be doctors? Raise your hand. We have a few. There's a saying among physicians that the doctor who is his own doctor has a fool for a doctor. The doctor who is his own doctor has a fool for a doctor. You have to be connected with other people to speak into your life. A pastor needs to have mentors in his life or her life who will speak the truth, ask questions, push and challenge you to walk with God in integrity. A pastor should cultivate these relationships. It's a matter of survival and spiritual fitness. And this is an immense job. I don't want to disagree with Tom, but the reality is nobody, no pastor can meet the expectations or the needs of a church. There's too much out there. There's so many needs. This is an immense job. In fact, when you look at the statistics, an average pastor in the United States works 55 to 75 hours a week. That's the stats. To prepare a sermon, the average pastor takes 15 hours, 10 to 15 hours to prepare one sermon. It's an immense job. You'll be preaching and teaching and counseling, doing the work of evangelism, leading, connecting, building community, developing disciples, administering, and more and more and more. It's a full-time activity. And you have it right now in your lap. You're wearing it. They gave you the robe. You're committed. We need God's help to do this kind of ministry. And our prayers should be with you. So church, every day, pray for Pastor Josh and his wife. I'm going to read the text that I have, 1 Timothy 3:1-5, ESV. The title of my message is this, and this is a short message. A pastor. To be a pastor or an overseer is a noble task. I want to talk about two words here mainly, overseer and noble task. But Paul is writing young Timothy here. And he calls Timothy in another text, my true son in the faith. And he's written three letters that deal with pastoral issues primarily, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. He talks about the qualifications of a pastor. And he mentions in verse 1, the saying is trustworthy, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Josh has aspired to this office. There may be some people here today. You may aspire to this office, this ministry, to be an overseer. What is an overseer? That word's been translated in many ways. It comes from the word that Episcopal comes from. But it really means like a pastor, a shepherd, an elder, someone who cares for the flock. The King James Version of the Bible uses the word bishop. It carries the idea that one has authority in a church and is a church leader and has responsibility to care for the people of God. That's the meaning of that text. So aspiring to be a leader in the church, Paul says, is a noble task. A pastor at the Chinese Community Church is someone who deserves the respect and honor for taking on this responsibility because it's a noble thing. What is noble? What does it mean for something to be noble? When you look at the dictionary, noble is defined as having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles. And there are many synonyms, many words that are similar to noble. Righteous, it's a righteous task. Virtuous, good, honorable, honest, decent, worthy, uncorrupted, anti-corruption, moral, ethical, reputable, unselfish, generous, self-sacrificing, brave, lofty. That's what it is to want to be an overseer or a pastor. But do you know something in the United States? You know what the status of a pastor is in most people's eyes? It's like a car salesman. Did you know that? Our culture does not respect pastors. Look at the television, how ministers are treated. And in a lot of places around the world, pastors have a high respect. But in our culture, it's not that high today. And so anyone in my mind who chooses to be a pastor is indeed an honorable person. Because you are countercultural today. You are confronting the culture and saying, no, I choose to serve God no matter what it may mean to others. And so Josh, I encourage you, be boldly a pastor, a leader. Don't shy away from the calling in your life, because it's a calling that God will prove. Pastor is also about character. It's more about character than performance or capabilities. Because you can do everything well, but if you don't have the character, you fail. You will never endure. You will never last. It's about the interior life. Let me read verse 2. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. I don't hear anything in this text about meeting the needs of people. I don't hear anything in this text about meeting your need or my need. Paul is concerned about the character of the pastor. That's the most important thing. It's more than our service, our action, our sermons. You know, when pastors preach a lot of the time, afterwards people come up and say, oh, I like your sermon. Well, you know, sermons are important, but if you don't have character, it's useless, because it doesn't have eternal impact. The mystery about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we are people of integrity who preach the gospel, and our life should impact our message. The life, the character, and the message have to match. Some time ago, a man called Richard Foster wrote a book, and the book was entitled, it dealt with the things that cause failure. It was entitled, Money, Sex, Power. And this text talks about these kind of things. I just want to mention, when it says that a pastor needs to be the husband of one wife, does that disqualify Charles? Does it? No, because the reality is there have always been single pastors. I have friends that are single pastors doing great jobs. This text is not talking about having more than one wife also, probably, because at this time, polygamy was not that common in this part of the world. The text is talking about faithfulness, fidelity, being faithful. If you are married, you are faithful to your wife. We live in a world where there's all kinds of temptations and attack on the faithfulness of families. And so pastors have to say no. But all Christians have to say no and be faithful to God and to their family. Pastors, thirdly, and these are some personal suggestions I'm going to give. To be a pastor means you will nurture your family. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? The importance of the pastor's family is something since the Protestant Reformation has become a very important theme. Pastors have to care for and protect their family. I had a son. My son was a pastor's child, a chaplain's child, a missionary's child. And I never expected my son to be a perfect church kid. Because I know that many pastors' children do not attend church because of what the church has done to their parents and because of what their parents did to them in church. Let your child grow up to be a normal boy. Protect him. Don't come home with church arguments if you have arguments with the board. Don't bring that to your child. Let your child grow up and enjoy the love and the fun and the peace of being in a church that loves Jesus Christ. Some churches think that a pastor's wife is a twofer, a special deal. We get the pastor, we pay for him, and we get a free wife to serve the church and do whatever we want. No. The wife of a pastor is free to do what she wants to do. She doesn't have to fit the picture of the previous pastor's wife. Every pastor's wife tries to find the place and the way that she will minister. And the church and the ladies in the church should never tell the pastor's wife, oh, you need to do this because so-and-so did this. You don't hire the pastor with the idea that the wife is a twofer. No. In fact, I know some pastors whose wives are professionals. They have full-time jobs. They can't do what other pastors' wives do in a church. So, Joshua, protect your wife. And if she wants to serve and do ministry, that's a blessing. It's a blessing for the church. So that concludes my few words for you. And I'm going to pray right now. Lord God, thank you for this noble task that you have called men and women to devote their lives to be handmaidens and servants of the living God. Lord, I pray that you help the character of Joshua to be nurtured and strengthened. Lord, I pray that you lead him to spiritual mentors outside of the church that will connect with him and encourage him and help him to be an effective minister. And I pray for his home. I pray for his child, his son. I pray for his wife. And I ask you, Lord, to protect this family and to use them in effective, powerful ministry that will touch Washington, D.C. And that as they are noble, we as a church will be a noble representation of your kingdom in this city. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Let's sing that again. You are my strength.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Your name, you
Of God, worthy is his name. As we come to the table of the Lord, let's also come as a church family to spend some time praying. Today we have only one verse. It is from John chapter 3, verse 30. The few words that John the Baptist said of himself and also of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. He must increase. The Lord Jesus must increase and I must decrease. He must increase and CCC, you and I must decrease. So we're going to spend some time, just a short few seconds, praying along this theme. You can pray that the Lord Jesus will keep increasing in the lives and ministry of Pastor Joshua, Esther, and the family. You can pray for the same thing for the pastors here at CCC, for all those who serve in and outside of CCC. You can pray that Jesus will increase, especially in Washington, D.C., with so much politics and division going on. You can pray that Jesus will increase as we keep faithful to the things that he has entrusted us to do as his people. So there's a lot of things you can pray for. And as you pray for Jesus to increase, to become greater, to become more important, more worthy among us, but remember also to give him thanks. So let's just come into the presence of God and say, the Lord Jesus Christ, make yourself great and known more than ever before among us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would keep becoming greater and greater, more and more worthy and more glorious in our careers, the families we are raising, in our relationship, in our church works, in our personal relationship with you and with others. Oh Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would make yourself know more and more among us, so that knowing you, we can reflect your glory and your love wherever we are. We just pray, O Lord, that you would increase and become greater in our nation's capital, in the mission fields, Washington, D.C., and beyond. And thank you, O Lord Jesus, for we know that you will do it. For we pray in your name. Amen. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is his name. I'm going to read a familiar passage regarding communion. You won't be seeing it on the screen, but I hope that if you want, you can close your eyes and listen to the words. And maybe the word of God would find new way into our hearts. I'm going to read it in English and then in Mandarin. On the night before he died for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks. He broke the bread and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take these and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Taking a cup, again he gave thanks, shared a cup with his disciples, and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And every time when we celebrate the table of the Lord, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes again. 在他为我们死之前夕，主耶稣拿起饼，祝谢，掰开，并交给他的门徒说：“拿着来吃，这是我的身体，为你们而舍的。你们要如此行，为的是纪念我。” 拿起杯的时候，照样他又祝谢了，与门徒分享那杯，并说：“这杯是在我血里面的新约，为你们与众人的罪得赦免而流出来的。每当你们吃这个饼、喝这个杯，你们见证主耶稣基督的死和复活，一直 等到他再来。 Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is his name. And now let's come and ask God to cleanse us and to prepare our hearts to receive the elements of the bread and also of the cup. Let us pray together. Gracious Father, we acknowledge that we are not worthy to come to this table of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we like to go our own way. We like to rebel against you. But we thank you that you are the merciful God always. We pray that you would have compassion on us. We come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus, asking you to cleanse us, asking you to help us receive these elements with humility, by faith, and in obedience to you. Revive us, O Lord. Thank you that you like to hear the cries of your people. So we confess to you that we are sinners. We ask you for forgiveness. And we also ask, O Lord, that you will strengthen us so that the longer we walk with you, the more we will see Jesus' greatness and power in our lives. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior and Master. Amen. I now invite the servers to come forward. I just want to remind you that we are going to be serving the elements a little bit different this Sunday. The servers will hold a tray for you, so you do not need to hold the tray and pass it on. Just take the elements and hold until all have been served. The servers will be serving half the pew at a time.
Thank you.
the Lamb of God, he must increase and we must decrease. This is our prayer and aspiration. Let us receive the elements together. Let us break the bread. And let us drink together. Let us give thanks to God together with this prayer of thanksgiving. Together we pray. Bountiful God, we give you thanks that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth into the world in courage and peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And together, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom comes, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now let us worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Just where we go, and teach us to be one.